player 2 has joined the game.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 357 of the Two Player Co-op Podcast. As always, I'm your host here, Kevin, along with my brother from my mother, Sean.
How are we doing?
Fantastic. You look like you're thinking, though.
What's the what's the code for, like, the police code for, like...
A 187?
That's what I was thinking.
That was a long time ago. It's 170 episodes
ago. Oh, 357 Magnum.
That's what you were thinking.
357 sounded like something. And that's what it is.
If this is the first time you're ever seeing, hearing, or listening to us, this is your Handgun Police podcast, where just about every week, two brothers get together to tell you everything you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, make sure to like the video, subscribe, share it with your friends, family, and everyone in betwixt. If you really like us, you can go to patreon.com/twoplayercoop. I almost said
you
slash
turned
stores,
slash into two syllables
because I almost said slash stores
and slash.
I
had to stop myself.
Where we got a lot of different benefits
for you people.
For you people, and we're going to tell you about it right now. The most popular tier is the $5 producer tier, which lets you watch us record the podcast live on YouTube as we are doing right now. You also get a bonus episode every month, and you get the podcast live one day early if you watch, if you're only at the $1 tier. So good for you. Some of our patrons deserve a shout out, just like our patron saint, the man with a bar named after him, Mr. John Tingley. Our affiliates, Derek Bamford, James Solar, make sure you check out James Games and More on YouTube, and Mom, as well as our affiliate, our producers, I mean, Steve Appleton, Aunt Sue, Dustin Downs, and Chris Peralta. Make sure you check out PS Rewind on YouTube as well. I just realized something. When I was looking at the tiers to post the link, we only have three producers now, and I thought that didn't sound right. I'm guessing Aunt Sue got a new credit card and didn't realize it got canceled.
We had to stop shouting her out then.
She's got to start giving $20.
No free rides, even for family. Unless you're Chris Peralta and we didn't realize that you stopped.
If you like cool t-shirts like I'm wearing and the like, you can always go to teespring.com/stores/twoplayercoop. Sean, do you have anything witty you would like to banter about?
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. My mother was a mutter.
My father was a mutter. yeah, I don't know. Hope everybody had a good Mother's Day. Be good to your moms.
Always. Not just on their day.
Yep.
We had fun. We had a cooked out for the first time. That's when you know it's like... I always say like Memorial Day is the start of the summer, but it's really whenever we have the first pool party. I think sometimes we do it for Mother's Day. Sometimes we don't.
This may be one of the first Mother's Day ones.
Yeah.
I feel like we usually do it for Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I feel like usually Mommy-al Day, Mother's Day is like, we usually do like the pasta.
Normally we don't have graduation the day before.
But yeah, that got all messed up. And yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Brittany.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, then I just want to go right into it. So, breaking news. Told Sean this morning, I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. And Square Enix did some stuff. And then we had some breaking news just a little bit before we went on the air. I just like to say that. PlayStation has announced, finally, not one, but two.
CEOs? Two?
Butchered that. CEOs. This comes from GameIndustry.biz. So let me actually... Ah, crap. Where's Wario's tweet? I lost a tweet. Wario. Wario, come out to play. That was weird. So Sony PlayStation has announced two CEOs, as I said. Okay. First one, Herman Hulst. Hulst is the CEO of the newly named Studio Business Group, which includes all of PlayStation's first-party teams, also covers the development of PlayStation IP onto other mediums such as TV and film. Herman Hulst has been the head of what? PlayStation Studios, I guess.
Something.
Or yeah. The president of whatever he was. I'm going to butcher this, but Hideaki? Or Hideaki?
Hideaki. I think it's Hideaki.
Okay. Hideaki Nishino will lead the platform business group, which includes console hardware, technology, accessories, PlayStation Network, and third-party relations, covering major publishers and indie studios. Sorry, Shuhei. So let's see here. So I had not heard of this guy before. Okay, so Hulst, obviously, he was... Okay, all they say is that he was the head of PlayStation Studios. Obviously, he was also the co-founder of Horizon and Killzone developer Guerrilla Games, which was acquired by Sony way back in 2005. I'm thrilled to lead the studio business group and continue to build on our success with PlayStation 5 while preparing for the future. The video game industry is one of the largest entertainment industries in the world. It's been built on the marriage of content and technology, and I look forward to continuing to push the boundaries of play and entertainment. So Hideaki Nishino was already SVP of Platform Experiences. He has been part of Sony since 2006, holding numerous roles at Sony Network Entertainment, Sony Corporation, and SIE. So SIE is PlayStation. Sony Corp is just obviously Sony. I don't know what Sony Network Entertainment is, unless that's something to do with film.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
It's weird. Like, they're not like a... They're not like a broadband provider or something. I don't know why I said broadband. I couldn't think of internet provider. That would make more sense. And he says, we will continue to connect players and creators through world-class products, services, and technology. We always strive to grow our community even bigger with innovation in every area at Sony Interactive Entertainment. I'm honored to be appointed such an important role alongside Herman. By working more closely together, we will be positioned to build incredible experiences for an ever-expanding audience now and in the future. So yeah, they're taking over for Hiroki Totoki, which is just the best name ever. Blah, blah, blah. That's really it. How do you feel?
I like Herman.
I really like Herman.
This feels very Michael Scott and
Jim Halpert.
Jim Halpert, like... Why do we have two?
You do the big picture.
Like, you should have one CEO and then just have one be a CPO and a CGO. Like, come up with, like,
well, that's
I
what,
don't know.
That's kind of what, that's what Phil is. Like, he's, Sarah Bond is like the president of Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Or maybe Phil's the president, whatever. But it's like there's somebody above Phil and then Phil's responsible for the games.
Yeah.
You know? I
mean, I don't care. It's semantics, I guess. If they want to just call them both CEOs, fine. I don't care. I don't know that I really have a problem with the work split. Like, it just seems weird to say we have two CEOs. That's what bothers me the most about
it. I
like Herman. I don't really know anything about the other guy. But
Herman's going to be much better than Jim Ryan.
How do you do, fellow gamers?
Because I've always looked at him, pretty sure it's pronounced Hideki. Hideki Matsui, there former Yankee. Herman's going to do great. I've always thought that he should have been, like, whenever he doesn't speak a lot. A lot of people at Sony don't talk. But when he does, like, at showcases and whatever, whenever he shows up, I like him.
Yeah.
I still miss Sean Layden. I miss Andy House. I miss those guys that had personality, but Herman's the closest thing to a personality that they've got, so I think that's a good idea. I don't... At first, I went like this. I was like, two CEOs? That's weird. And then I read it, and I was like, okay, so basically one over games, one over hardware. But then I was like, okay, that makes sense. But then I was like, wait, no, it doesn't make sense because the games and the hardware are always intertwined. And then the guy Hideki is over third party and indies also. I get it that it lets Herman just focus on the PlayStation Studios, but I don't really get it. I don't know why you would have two CEOs.
Yeah.
I also wonder if they're doing this because of everything that's going on with Microsoft. Maybe they want to split up the duties because
Maybe, yeah.
the calls So, I mean, they each have a different call to duty. Oh, damn, I screwed it up. Call of duty with what they're doing. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what it's really going to affect us. You look like you're about to say something and laugh.
It's probably a joke that's been made before. Literally, like word for word. And I give you credit because you're the one that I'm riffing off of something you've said in the past, but
we already have a George.
No. If you feel like you have to poop, you're getting the call of duty.
I'm sure no one has made that before. I'm sure no one has made that joke before. So I don't really know what it means. I think it's kind of weird. I haven't seen what anybody on Twitter is saying yet or anything. I'm glad they named somebody or two somebodies, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a little odd, but I have faith.
I'm happy for Herman. He's done a great job over PlayStation Studios, and I'm not really going to miss Jim Ryan except for making fun of him.
Yeah.
You were going to say something else. What's the next joke?
I was just going to say, if Herman Holst has a bunch of people working under him that aren't very social and don't like to go out, those would be Herman's hermits.
This is why you come to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So that's that. PlayStation 2 CEOs. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Sean.
Yeah.
What was that? Are you Dutch?
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been playing? You already had the platinum last week.
I did. Okay. I thought I started playing something.
All I know is the obvious one.
Oh, yeah. Tunic.
Oh, I forgot you played that too.
So when I was texting you, I'm like, yep. I don't know if I'm going the right way or not, and this is really hard. Well, I don't even know what I did. I would say I beat the first dungeon, but I don't really know. I think I got to the first boss. Didn't really seem like much of a dungeon, more of just an area.
Was it like ringing the two bells? Was it that thing?
I rang one bell.
Okay.
And there's like a boss, and I was like, and his health was just going, meanwhile, I'm dead in like two hits. I'm like, door's open. I'm just going to run through that door. I ran through the door and rang the bell. I'm like, that seemed like that was good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where to go now. So I started wandering around. I eventually wound back up in the area that I was in and read the sign saying Hero's Grave that way. So okay. That sounds important. And yeah. Then I finally got the sword. I'm like, oh well, that changes a lot. Because okay. I was still fighting with a stick. So I couldn't cut through bushes. The only reason I even got to the boss is there's these guys you can fight against that have swords. Mm-hmm. And if you let them, they'll cut the bushes. So they were kind of clearing a path for me, which allowed me to get to the boss. So that's part of the reason why it was very difficult. That being said, now that I've got the sword, I can cut through bushes and I can go a lot of different places now. I have no idea where to go. I went into this whole area, but it just seems like I can't really go. I feel like I've done everything in that area and I don't know where to go now. Then started playing Animal Well.
Wait, so is that it with Tunic?
That's it.
Okay. Play it with a guide. This game, like Sean was texting me, people like Logan that complain that Zelda 1 is very obtuse. It is. And this, they were clearly not just inspired by Zelda, but by Zelda 1.
Yeah.
Not only is the game obtuse, the stuff you can, the instruction manual you get in the world is in a different language from what I remember. You have to translate it or something. Play it with a guide. Yeah. I'm definitely going to play it with a guide because I got damn near to the end of it.
Oh, really?
What game are we talking about? We're talking about Tunic. Like, I got damn near to the end of the game when it came out. That came out in 21. I thought that was like a 22 game.
I would have thought 22.
That's crazy. But
I like it. It definitely seems fun. It definitely reminds me of Death's Door, and as of right now, I think Death's Door is better. But it's still very early. I don't know. It's fun. But yeah, then I started playing Animal Well, and then I haven't gone back to Tunic because now I'm getting hooked on Animal Well.
Good.
I didn't really like it too much at first. Like, I'm playing it, and I'm like, there's something here, but I don't know how much I like this. It just felt very overwhelming. And now I feel like I'm hitting my stride, and I'm just starting to really gel with, like, what the game is trying to be. And so I feel like I'm approaching it differently now, which is making it more enjoyable and easier. And I don't know, everything's just finally starting to click. And I don't know how the whole game is going to play out, but think back to Super Metroid. Mm-hmm. There was Kraid. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of the other ones, but Ripley. The four boss, but not Ridley.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
oh,
was
and
he
I said
one of
Ripley.
Them? Yeah, believe it or not. I think Ridley was one of them. Ridley, Kraid.
Oh, the fire guy?
The four
guy?
Bosses.
The fire guy that comes
there's
out?
There's the thing that, like, you basically oh, have to, the, like, knock into the lava.
There's that eye that floats around, Plantoon,
yeah,
or whatever his name.
He doesn't count.
Fantoon, I think.
That sounds right. But anyways, you have to defeat the four bosses, and then there's, like, this area where there's a statue of all four of them, and every time you kill one of them, their eyes light up or turn off or something, and that's what takes you to the final area. There's no... Actually, I did kind of fight one boss.
Without combat.
In a way. You kind of make it kill himself.
Like, make it jump off a cliff or
basically.
Something.
Basically. So I've fought two bosses and got their flames, and okay. It seems like there's four of them, and I've done two of them. So I assume I'm about halfway through, but I did both those two in the last 30-45 minutes of gameplay, and I feel like I've gotten much further. I don't know, it's just like I'm starting to, I've unlocked what I guess is the fast travel, but it's not that helpful. The map is not great. Like, the map shows you a pretty good layout, a good representation of the world. But there's no information on there. I finally just got a pencil, which lets you kind of draw your own. It's not like a stamp. Like, I want to put this symbol here. You have to draw with your thing. But, like, so the map doesn't really show you, unless you can make out, oh, yeah, that room looks familiar. I think that's where this thing was. Like, there's no, like, symbols that show up on the map other than the save points.
Okay.
And a symbol for, like, where you died, pretty much. But, like, the map isn't very... It's, like, a good map. It's a representation of the world, but there's no information on it. But it's, like, you've got to add it if you want it there.
When you get to an area, does it show the whole map? Or
just
it,
that
like,
screen.
Blocks? Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, when you're here, here's this... thing, and then once you go up here to go into the next room, then that one will appear on the map. It's not perfect, but I like it, and I'm liking it more and more the more I play it. I wasn't quite sure at first, but now I'm like getting hooked. It's not like this crazy masterpiece or anything, but I mean, it's easily number four for the year. I mean, I'd still say it's behind Rebirth. It's behind Persia. It's probably behind Kenzera, but maybe by the end of it, it's up to like number three. Like, it's unique, I will give it that. It's definitely different. This one area that I was struggling to get through, I ended up back there just before I came over here and realized I missed an item, which makes getting around that area much easier. And I'm now realizing I missed a good chunk of the area because I didn't have this item, which is now letting me progress further. There's another item you get that's kind of the equivalent of, like, well, I'll tell you. You can't double jump, but you get this bubble wand, which lets you make, like, a bubble, and then
it
floats up.
Oh, so it's like Mario Wonder.
Kind of. So it makes a little bubble, and as soon as you make it, it floats up. You can only put one. So if I put a bubble and it starts floating up, and then I hit it again, this one pops and it makes a new one. And it basically gives you a little temporary platform for you to jump on and then jump off. But
jump
as soon
off,
as you jump on
one.
It, it starts sinking. And I don't know if it was meant to be this way, but you can, like, make a bubble, So Square does the bubble and X jumps. So you can like make a bubble and jump on it. Now, as soon as you land on it, you'll start sinking, but you can basically hit Square X. So you'll make a new bubble and jump, and then you can jump onto that one. So you can kind of, if you time it right, you can go, yeah, boop, 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 boop. And there's rooms that I've essentially skipped by, like, I'm in this room, and there's a switch I had to get to up here, but I can't reach it, and I clearly have to go into this room and come out up here. And I just, like, bloop, 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 and got up there that way. But then anywhere there's, like, these, like, vines hanging down, they pop your bubble. And there's some places where they put those vines where it's, like, they clearly don't want you to use that, I'll call it an exploit. And so it's, like, it seems like they're aware that you could do that.
But they're, like, no.
But then... Yeah, it's like sometimes they prevent you from doing it, and sometimes they're like, yeah, if you really want to do it.
We're talking animal well now, James.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a little, it's interesting.
That sounds like the opposite of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, where it's like, here's an obstacle. Do whatever you want.
Right.
Whereas this is like, well, you could do that.
You could do that, but that's not what we intended. So, yeah. But no, I definitely like it. I think you should check it out. And give it a fair chance. I think when you first start, you'll be like, okay, I like this, but it's weird that I can't attack. And then you'll be like, I don't like this. I'm getting lost. I don't know where to go. Give it like another hour or two, and I think you'll be pulled back in. Because that's kind of how my experience has been. But I like it a lot. I'm definitely into see it through now. But yeah, that's all I've played.
I definitely want to play it. And I want to get to Tunic as well.
I'm definitely going to go back to Tunic, but this game, it's like, if I spend too much time in between sessions, I don't know that I'm going to remember where I was
going. Right.
The most frustrating part is there's not a whole lot of save points.
And if you die, or anything.
The good thing is, if you die, I'm pretty sure everything you've done in the world is still there. Okay. Any switches you hit, any bosses you've killed, any shortcuts you've unlocked, anything like that, even though you got sent back to the last time you saved, everything you did is still there. Okay. You're just in a very inconvenient location and you have to make your way back. So it could be better, but it could also be worse.
I had that issue. I'm going to need y'all to... We did name games. You weren't paying attention. If we had a producer, we could just say Animal Well. I was going to say something and then I forgot.
Got it. Tunic?
No, it was about Animal Well. Oh. What were you just saying? Oh, that's what it was. That it reminds me of... That was one of the issues I had with Metroid Prime, was it seemed like some of the save locations, not everywhere, but it's
That happened to me sometimes, but a lot of time, be like, I'm going from here to here. Doot, 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 doot. Hey, look, there's a save room. If I go like 5 seconds out of my way... Nah, I can't be bothered. Do, do, do. And then sure enough, I die. I'm like, well, I really wish I had that save room now.
Yeah.
This one, it's more... Well, a lot of the times it was happening to me, it was in that area where I missed the item that would have helped me a lot more anyway. So it may not be that much of a problem. It was really happening to me in one specific area.
Right.
But yeah, I would suggest when you do play it, the save point is like a telephone, like an old school telephone, and it's a big yellow thing on the map. So anytime you're moving around, if you're like, ooh, there's a save point that I saved at before, and it's like two rooms that way, just go back and hit it. Like, if you saved here, now you're going this way. I'm like, oh, wait, but there's that one that I did before. Make sure you take a detour, hit that save point, and then get back on your way. Because it'll frustrate you to no end. But yeah, cool. I like it.
Well, I mean, it was a job offer if we hit Powerball. I want to get to Animal Well. I'm still also playing a Metroidvania. Tales of Kinzera's out. I haven't played it a lot. This weekend was crazy. I didn't play it all this weekend. So now I'm at the part where I'm not much further than... I can't remember if I was this far last time. Oh, no, you asked me at Pizza Night where I was. I think that's... Anyways, I'm now at the part where... still act two. I've gotten the three flowers. I got the grappling hook slingshot thing. And then I got right back to where I was about to give it to Sebulba or whatever her name is. That's the guy from Rogue Star One. Wars. Not yeah. Rogue One. Phantom Menace. Yeah. Episode One. Anyways. So I was like, I really don't know. I feel like she's going to turn into a boss or something based on how the first boss went. Or somehow this is going to turn... It's just going to turn into a boss fight. And I was like, I don't want to... I need to go shower and pick the kids up from school and stuff. So that's where I stopped. I agree with what you said about... This is really kind of baby's first Metroidvania.
Yeah, there's not much that's hidden.
Right.
But it also... Like, it's good and bad. Like, it shows you the map. Here's everywhere you need to go.
I wish it didn't.
Yeah. That's the one thing that's annoying. It's like, it's obvious where you should go, but if you don't do it, or if you can't do it because you don't have an item yet or something, it's not always easy to remember.
You can't mark anything.
So what I started doing, kind of harkening back to Persia, I just started taking screenshots.
Oh.
And be like, here's this, and I would just like go to the map and screenshot it, and then continue on my way. Be like, oh, here's another one of those things that I can't do yet. Go to the map, screenshot it, and so I had to do that a couple times. But yeah,
so I like the new power up that I got, the hookshot thing. Like I said, am I just about at the second boss? I assume.
I kind of remember. I mean, you're probably 80% through Act Two, I would say, at okay. this point. It's not like you're 95% through, but you're, yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping to, I would like to just beat it this week and get the platinum and everything. I do, yeah, that's the thing. The map is just not good. I still hate the way it shows the negative space. It is something about yeah. having the lines.
I also wish you could zoom Why? In more.
Your zoom is just,
I'm like, what is the point of zooming? Like let you me can get
zoom
in out there.
Like crazy. So if you go from there and then you zoom in, right. wow. But, like, if you just open the map and then I'm like, I want to zoom in. Every time I forget, it just goes, I'm like, I can't even see what's around my, like, icon thing, yeah. you know? One of the things that drives me nuts, and I finally figured out why it happens, I haven't had any crashes or anything, but the controls are a little buggy, and I'm surprised 2 weeks or 3 weeks after release, whatever it is, that they haven't fixed this yet. I don't remember any game that I've ever seen this happen before, and it's something that I didn't even realize I did.
I wonder if you're going to say.
I did until this game prevented me from doing it, but if you go pause or you go to the map and then you get out of it.
And you're like holding
you
right.
A half a second.
You like won't move.
You're just holding and
yeah,
I'm
like he's not moving. Move, and you have to like let go and then yes. move. Yeah, that was driving me nuts.
I've never had a game do this to me before that I can remember, and it's driving me insane. But at least now that I know it's a thing, I can make do with it, but... It's really annoying. Also, I had something happen today. Oh, I finally found my first combat challenge.
Okay.
And it was in Act 2. But the guy, I was talking to the guy with me, Kavungala, whatever his name is, Kalunga? I don't know. And he was like, oh, yeah, this is this, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. Maybe that's the first one?
No, there's definitely one in Act 1. Okay. But now that you know, did you do it?
Yeah, I did all three stages.
Okay. Look at what it looks like on the map, because I'm pretty sure it shows a symbol, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just like...
I didn't see one. Oh, I think I saw one once I got there. Once I got there, there was a symbol.
Hmm. It doesn't say if you just look at your map of the Act 1 area, you should see it.
But it's still
yeah,
a triangle.
It's still that
it's
triangle.
Just different. It like looks a little different.
But yeah, so now you've seen... You like fight all the enemies, then you fight them again, but they all, or most of them, have a shield. Mm-hmm. And then you fight them again, and they all have a specific shield where you have to use the sun or the moon. And
right.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the only time I use the sun.
Really? See, I'm using the sun more than I'm using the lasers.
One thing, in case you haven't figured it out, because it helped me a lot.
Stupid Rangers.
Anytime they have a shield, whether it's a normal shield, a red shield, or a blue shield, for
yes,
your...
Yes, Animal Well was made by one person. You're right, James.
For your moon, do you have the thing where you can hit triangle to like deflect projectiles? Do you have that power?
Not yet.
That, okay. That
I did the thing where you can hit R2 to like, and I always forget that I have it to like
okay.
grab.
Yeah, I didn't use that.
Put something
too much.
In stasis or an
so
enemy
the triangle thing
dead.
You can like deflect projectiles.
Okay,
and that counts to get rid of their shield.
Oh, okay.
Even if they have the red shield and it's sun, you can only deflect it with moon. But if it's something that shoots a projectile at you, go to moon, deflect it, it always hits them unless another enemy gets in the way.
Okay.
And that's sometimes an easy way to get rid of their shield, especially if they're one of those that throw projectiles. So that helps a lot with those guys.
The only reason I did the R2 power up was I needed to do that to get to the
Super Shinku.
Yeah. So I did, like you said, I powered that up all the way. That thing is ridiculous.
Oh, you got it to level 3 now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and now I'm like, okay, now I can do the other skills and stuff. What else? Yeah, when I come out of pause. Oh, that's what it was today. I had finished the second stage of that combat trial. And all of a sudden, you know, I click out of the menu, like, yeah, you get point, whatever I got. And then it's like, my guy is just standing there, and he's got the aim thing. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Okay, go left. I can't move. I can do this, and I can jump, and I can dash. But I'm like, what the hell is happening? Finally, I just was like, wait a minute. Let me hold L2, let go. Okay, that fixed it. But I'm like, this game's
Oh, that never happened to me.
It's the only time it's happened.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the same thing.
But it's super weird. The pause menu in this is just, it's just messing stuff up. Again, I know this game is not copying it, but the more I play this game, the more I'm like, this is Prince of Persia, but just not as good.
Yeah.
You've got all, like, there's all like the floating blocks and stuff that look like they're suspended in time, just like Prince of Persia. You've got, oh, now you get to the swamp area.
The graphics are almost identical.
Yeah, if you get in the green stuff, it's going to hurt you because it's slime, whatever. It's got the combat challenges. It's got the platforming challenges. You know, it's like, it's just not as good. It's not bad. I'm going to see it through and I'm going to get the platinum because I am having fun with it. It's just.
Yeah, I definitely liked it. And it's weird because it's not that big or crazy of a game, but there's no way development of it started after Persia came out. It's not like they're just flat out copying it.
Right.
But yes, it's very similar.
It's just bad. It's just bad timing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love me a good Metroidvania, and this is at least good. Like, it's a solid, like a 7 out of 10, I would say so far.
Yeah.
The story isn't really hooking me yet.
I skipped a lot of the story.
I still don't understand. What happened at the beginning?
I skipped a lot of the stuff at the beginning. And I don't even know who I'm playing as. Am I playing
as... You're Kenzera.
Okay. But,
oh, no, you're Zhao. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, Kenzera, Zhao, I think, is the world. But, like, is that who you're walking around the house as?
Or that's what I'm saying. I don't think so. I think that's, like, his kid,
or are you playing his dad, and this is, like, his story... I'm still kind of confused about that.
Well, no, because you're trying to save the dad from being dead.
So why did they change? Because they weren't calling him Zhao in the beginning.
What were they calling? No, not in the house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So is that the same person?
I think that might be Zhao's kid, maybe.
I don't know. I'm very confused.
His, like, Zhao is the Babu to that person. Is that what they call? He calls his dad Babu?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's fun. I just didn't care about the story.
Yeah. And the first boss fight was cool. I died a couple times. But then once you get the patterns down, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I would just like, I was like, all I have to do, I got to stay alive long enough to power up my Shinku Hadouken again. And then after that, I'm like, okay, that took away a good chunk. Now I can heal and stuff. And it's fun. But yeah, I use mostly the melee stuff.
Really?
I don't know why. But I like just getting right up in those things. But I mean, I'm pretty good at going back and forth. And a lot of times if I am using the moon, if I'm like, pew, 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 usually there's like a floating guy and I'm like, oh, and I use all my ammo and then there's somebody coming to me. So then I'll L1, I'll turn around, boom, boom, boom. I guess that goes back to my thing about Metroidvanias, that I just like Metroidvanias with melee combat better than range combat. Which
and
is
I
not
do
how
too,
it used to be.
But I don't know why in this game I'm just like, I'm going to stick to the moon.
Yeah. Bang, zoom. Stick to the moon. That's all I played this week. I haven't gotten to Balatro yet. So I want to get to, I want to beat this, finish up the platinum. I can see it's going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Beat this, get to platinum. I want to start playing Balatro, and I want to get to Animal Well. But I mean, shoot. We're what? 2 weeks away. What date does Mario come out?
It's probably about 2 weeks. I don't know the exact date, but it's late May, so.
Or is it next week? That's what I'm wondering. Mario,
I don't know.
1,000 Year Door.
That's a game I'll probably get and May beat 23rd. Within a week. Ooh, that's, yeah, next Friday.
It's on a Friday. No, a Thursday.
Thursday.
Why do we say Friday?
Oh, that's
but
the day
Thursday.
I'm working from home.
Oh, that's not good.
That worked out well.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I would like to. I think Balatro is one of those games I'm not too. Actually, maybe I'll. I feel like I'll try Balatro and just see what the whole poker rogue thing is about. But then try to do Animal well. See how it clicks with me and then go from there. Oh, this. How long was. Oh, you said it was like 12 hours to platinum it or
something like
right?
that.
Like yeah. nothing. I think I'm at like 4 or 5 hours, I think.
Yeah.
It does keep your clock. Another thing I do like about it, that if you actually go, I always just hit continue, but if you actually go to your, if you go load, it does have the time there, which I like. So yeah, Sean, that's it for what I've been playing. Would you like to get to the news of the week?
Let's do it.
Well, the hits just keep on coming in the games industry. Square Enix is going to get, quote, aggressive with their new business plan. I can't remember who broke this first. I'm sure it says it in here, but I'm going to read this from Video Games Chronicle. Square Enix has published a new medium-term business plan, which includes making its AAA games multi-platform going forward. The plan, which the publisher has dubbed Square Enix Reboots and Awakens. Are you kidding me? Square Enix Reboots and Reawakens. Or Awakens. Are we really... that they're really calling a business plan we're rebooting and awakening? It sounds like a Star Wars movie. Lays out a 3-year strategy which it hopes will lead to, quote, long-term growth, end quote. One of the four pillars of this plan... Now, this is sounding like where I work and like, we've got these many pillars and... it involves strengthening customer contact points. It will see the publisher shift to a multi-platform strategy. I think this is funny. First off, sidebar. They have a multi-platform strategy. Just not for all their games.
Right, yeah.
The plan says Square Enix will, quote, aggressively pursue a multi-platform strategy that includes Nintendo platforms, which means Switch and Switch 2, PlayStation, Xbox, and PCs, end quote. By doing this, it will be able to, quote, build an environment where more customers can enjoy our titles in regards to major franchises and AAA titles, including catalog titles. While it isn't explicitly mentioned in the plan, the recent releases of Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth are the most obvious examples of Square Enix releasing a platform exclusive AAA title. Hello, Forspoken. This new plan appears to suggest that such platform exclusivity may not be in Square Enix's best interests anymore, and that it may even be planning to release some of its previous catalog titles on new formats, be that Xbox or the successor to the Switch. Elsewhere in the document, Square Enix stresses that it has to, quote, shift from quantity to quality and focus on delivering games that are enjoyed by more players. I feel like Michael Scott.
Thank you. Yeah.
It aims to, quote, launch... This is the most quotes I've ever done. It aims to, quote, launch titles that ensure excitement that will bolster loyalty to our brand, placing top priority on bringing smiles to our customers' faces, end quote, and to, quote, keep and build on the fan bases for our major franchises by regularly releasing AAA titles, end quote. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Oh, that's the guy from Mirth. He's one of the idiots in Smash from the
Marth.
Fire Emblem. Oh, is it Marth? Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth are PlayStation console exclusives, but Square Enix's new strategy suggests its future games will be multi-platform. The plan appears to be the outcome of an announcement made during Square Enix's financial results briefing in February, where President Takashi Kiryu said the company was conducting a... fundamental, or is that Kiryu? If Ryu is actually Ru, or no, that's Ryu. Kiryu, okay. Conducting a fundamental review of its development process to improve the quality of its games, and then more information would come in the spring. During its latest financial results released today, The publisher confirmed it had canceled a number of projects because they were, quote, incompatible with the group's revised approach to the development of HD games, which reflects such objectives as multi-platform development and the strengthening of internal development capabilities.
What does that even mean, the development of HD games?
I think what they're saying is, like, just not...
Like AAA?
Or not, like, phone games, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like handheld, but there's no other, there's no handheld, so I don't know. Also, because I said the hits keep on coming, Square Enix did also confirm as part of all this that there will be layoffs in the US and Europe across publishing, IT, and the Square Enix Collective, which is their indie label, which will be most affected. How does Square Enix, I need Dragon Quest Monsters on PS5. I think it's only on Switch, right? How does Square Enix have an indie label? That doesn't make any sense. You're Square Enix. You're not... You can't have an indie label. They're
That's
not...
That's true, yeah.
You're publishing it. It's like EA Originals. They don't call them indie games. They just... They're like a different... That's what Tales of Kenzaro Zao is yeah. EA Originals. It's like that's... And Ubisoft, I think they did something like that too, but... And okay, I'm getting hung up on that. So they want to do quality over quantity. What I wrote down here is maybe less Foam Stars and Forspokens? Question mark. I think that would probably help the bottom line. Multi-platform. Square Enix.
More Power Wash.
Oh, they did publish that, didn't they? Now, that was a win. I don't care what anybody said. I don't even know what the Metacritic is for that game. But, Sean, what do you think about all this?
I mean, I think this is just kind of a... reflection of the industry as a whole, where you release these like universally praised, loved games by critics and consumers, and somehow they still fail to meet expectations. Like, the industry is not, I don't want to say it's not salvageable, but like, it's not, it can't keep going the way it is.
They can't keep getting away with this.
And
as
so,
Jesse said.
I don't want to know what Rebirth would have looked like. Not literally looked alike, but like either A, what would that game literally have looked like to be able to put it on the Switch? Not talking Switch 2, but Switch. Let's say they came up with the strategy 3 years ago.
Right.
You try to put that game on Switch, let me know how it goes. Or what would it look like on PS5 because they had to try to put it on the Switch?
Exactly.
It's one thing to put it on Xbox. It's another thing to put it on PC, whatever. But Switch and Switch 2 may be completely different. But I'm not trying to take cheap shots at Xbox. I don't know that you sell too many extra copies by putting it on Xbox.
No, that's the problem with the whole
PC,
right
of
now.
Course, you probably do. Switch, yeah. You'd probably sell a lot if you
but
put
you...
the actual version of the game and not like a Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I understand what they're doing and I understand why they have to do it, but I don't know. I don't know how possible that would have been. You could have put it on Xbox. You could have put it on PC. You are not putting Rebirth as it is on Switch.
No, it's not like you could.
Maybe
just,
Switch 2. I don't know. But
you
like,
can't just go like, okay, let's just dial it down to 720p and 30 frames a second. It's not that easy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What I assume is that part 3 of Final Fantasy VII, Sony's already got the contract for that, I would assume. So I don't think that's going to be day and date on Xbox. I wonder if it will be PC day and date or a lot closer. Because Remake was it like exactly a year after?
Was
that when Integrate came out? Is that when it came to PC?
I think so, yeah.
And I don't know when Rebirth is going to come to PC. We haven't seen that yet. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Switch 2 also. I didn't put this in the rundown because I don't really know if... There's all these things... Did you see these other leaks, rumors going around that have come from, like, customs documents shipping and stuff that it seems like the power is between...
PS4 Pro and
a Series S. If that's true...
That's plenty.
That's more than enough for... Now, it's more than enough for every Nintendo game they could make.
Yeah.
I still don't know if it's enough... for something like this. But
at least you could make
closer.
A salvageable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you might have more pop in.
Exactly.
Maybe it's locked at 30. Like,
right.
But you could make it work.
So I don't think Remake Part 3 is going to come to Xbox day and date. I do think maybe a year after that or whatever. Well, like James said in the Discord today, who even knows if Xbox is going to be around then.
Man.
But I assume they're going to put the trilogy after the fact. It's going to come to Xbox.
Yeah.
Because even remember, Colin always brings this up, that like if you think back to Final Fantasy VII Remake, when they were talking about it, they used to call it a timed console exclusive. Clearly, Sony just paid them more money to say, don't let them get it or something. I don't know. But, and that's the other thing to think about, like these. So I guess what they're saying by going multi, they think they can make more money going multi-platform. So say if Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was on everything, whatever they think they could have sold on PC, Xbox, and maybe Switch. I don't know, not Switch. PC and Xbox would be more money than whatever it was Sony paid them to keep it on PS5. That's right. That's basically what it means.
But like, hindsight's 2020 and all that, but like, I feel like somebody at Square Enix should have been like, wow, Sony, you're paying us X millions of dollars to make it exclusive. Okay. Like, they should have known that's not enough to make up for what this would have sold elsewhere.
Right.
Unless, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure somebody did those calculations and maybe they were just way off on it, but.
Or they just thought it was going to sell more on PS5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for, I mean, Square Enix, if you're just bad at doing business. I mean, if you signed a deal that got you an extra couple million dollars just to make it exclusive, and there, but then you missed out on selling millions of, like, that's on you. Like,
yeah,
it's not on Sony for making a good business deal. Like, that's a bad deal for you. So, yeah, I get it.
So I think Kingdom Hearts 4 is supposed to be this year.
There's no chance.
All we've seen is one trailer, right?
I don't remember
super
anything.
Weird. It looked like it was like,
oh, I do
realistic,
remember
weird look. Not realistic, but not Kingdom Hearts looks like.
Yeah. I want Dragon Quest
11,
whatever,
12. Yeah.
That's got to be coming somewhat soon. That'll obviously be, that'll be out on everything.
But I think they need to start, they just need to, it's not just the quality over the quantity, because they do publish a just crazy amount of games. And I think we probably could have seen this coming if you think back, because they sold off, like they used to publish the Tomb Raider games. They sold off that IP. They sold off their Western stuff. They're just focusing on Japan. I do also wonder if this is going to make them a target for acquisition. Now, part of me thinks this is almost like a market bargaining ploy or something, to be like, hey, we're giving our games to everybody now, we're not making enough money, so that Sony will be like, okay, fine, we'll just buy you,
Billy.
Oh, okay. Took me a minute. Was that just a game or was it a movie or something?
I
have
no idea. I think it was just a game.
I got to think with the way, and I'll transition to our next story, with the way things are going over Xbox, I'm not worried anymore about Xbox buying anybody I care about, like Capcom or Square.
They're not buying anybody, yeah, anytime soon.
With a transition, let's talk more about this last week for Xbox. Tom Warren over at The Verge, I'm not going to read everything that he had in his article. I kind of picked and choosed a few things. I choose to say that. Wait, no, I choose. No, I'm getting dumb.
No, I choosed that. I think it's because you said I picked and. So it'd be weird to say I picked and chose. So you said I picked and choosed. But it's still not right.
A word?
No.
This is when I start thinking, like, maybe. When I look at maybe and I'm like, that's not spelled right. I think it's M-A-B-E-Y. When you just like the simplest things get so complicated in your head. This comes from The Verge. Microsoft's latest round of layoffs shocked both employees and fans. Arcane Austin's Big Redfall update was on the way with a new offline mode, and the DLC was being worked on just hours before the studio closed. Those poor, they had no... Aaron Greenberg, who's the head of Xbox marketing, and Xbox chief Phil Spencer both visited Tango Gameworks in September, playing games with the team and posing for group photos. Now the studio is the latest victim of layoffs that have rocked the game industry over the past 18 months. I got to think back then they didn't know they were going to close it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say Phil, I'm not saying Phil is that evil, but like, it just, it's not a good look.
Yeah.
But it, you never know what's going to happen, so you can't say you can't visit your studios, you know? Inside Xbox, there's now uncertainty about what the future holds and questions over Microsoft's gaming strategy. While Microsoft is looking toward a more PC-like future for its consoles, the company continues to battle a slowdown in Game Pass subscribers, lackluster Xbox console sales, and game launch delays. A combination of these events led to four previously Xbox-exclusive games launching on PS5 recently, and some landing on the Switch. I reported earlier this year that Microsoft had been considering bringing Gears of War to rival consoles, and we're still waiting to see if a long-rumored Gears of War collection is ever confirmed. Either way, I'm still expecting to see more Xbox games arrive on PS5 and Switch, and it'll be interesting to see if the Xbox Game Showcase in June includes any new announcements for rival hardware. Side note, I don't think so. I think that would be... I don't think they need to do it there. They need to focus on...
Yeah, even if they had plans for that, scrap that right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, get rid of it, but pump the brakes before you announce that.
That can just be blog posts and, like, press releases and stuff. You know? You don't have... Don't do that at the showcase. I think that would be dumb. Microsoft has also had internal debates about whether to put new releases of Call of Duty onto Game Pass. I understand this is a debate that has been ongoing internally for quite some time, with concerns for some that the revenue that Call of Duty typically generates for Activision Blizzard will be undermined by Game Pass.
Duh.
Shouldn't y'all have thought about this before you spent $70 billion? Shouldn't you know what you're doing with it? I'm told Microsoft also considered has also considered increasing the price of Game Pass Ultimate again. These are only considerations, so a final decision could mean we still see a future Call of Duty release appear in most versions of Game Pass. The debate internally reflects the fact that Xbox's strategy has shifted from just delivering its games exclusively into Game Pass to considering bringing more Xbox games to multiple platforms. Xbox has a strong lineup of games planned for 2024 with Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. Why did he write it like that? Isn't it Hellblade 2 Senua's Saga? Senua's Saga?
I don't know. Now I'm wondering.
It'll debut in a matter of weeks on May 21st. I understand Hellblade 2 is another game that Microsoft has been considering for PS5. If that ever happens, at this point, it's not clear if even that would be considered a success. Xbox employees are bracing for what's next, as it seems unlikely we've seen the last of Microsoft's gaming layoffs and cutbacks. There are whispers among employees that core Xbox game studios are set for cutbacks next. So what that means is, like, the original Xbox studios, before they bought ZeniMax, before they bought Activision, you know?
Yeah.
Last month, Microsoft reported that hardware was down 31%, or hardware revenue was down 31% year over year, and an obvious admission that this was, quote, driven by lower volume of consoles sold.
What else would it be?
Like, it's hardware.
It's not
like,
driven by that. It is
it
that.
It is that. Like, controllers don't count. They're accessories. They're not hardware. Last year, Microsoft reported a 30% drop in Xbox hardware from the prior year in 22, Sony PS5 sales have also slowed, but not like Microsoft's. While Xbox hardware sales are a cause for concern, Microsoft has been beating the Xbox Game Pass drum in recent years, telling us, quote, "The Xbox business isn't how many consoles you sell," end quote. But Microsoft's latest earnings showed that Xbox content and services, which includes Game Pass, would only have been up 1% without Activision Blizzard. And overall gaming revenue would have declined without this giant acquisition. Microsoft CMO Amy Hood is now expecting Xbox hardware revenues to decline again next quarter.
So, I don't understand what they're saying.
They're saying
if they didn't buy Activision, Game Pass subscriptions would have only been up 1%?
No, revenue.
Xbox content and services, which includes Game Pass, would have only been up 1%. But to be fair, Who cares? They did buy them. So this hypothetical, who cares? It's out the window. Ooh, if we didn't buy them, we wouldn't have grown much. Okay, you did buy them. So how much did you grow
with it?
Right. I mean, that's what I would like to know. Yeah. How much did you get back from that?
Microsoft has a busy fall ahead for Xbox, with Bethesda currently targeting September for its Starfield expansion, Shattered Space, Activision planning the next Call of Duty for late October, and Avowed and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 likely to follow in November. To top it all off, Indiana Jones is currently planned for December. If Microsoft's game studios can deliver all these games on time, then there will be plenty to play on Xbox this holiday, with a new Gears of War title expected to be announced during this showcase, alongside some release dates for other anticipated games. Microsoft will be banking on some new game announcements lifting the doom in capital letters around Xbox, but the company's gaming strategy still looks unclear and the challenges run deeper than a handful of holiday launches. Basically, Tom Warren is saying Doom 3 is going to get announced at the showcase.
Yeah.
And I think it's rumored to be year zero is what I think they were calling it. I think that might have been in like the documents from the FTC trial or something. So some other updates here from Schreier and some other people. So, these first few here, yeah, these first one, two, three, four come from James Schreier. James? Jason Schreier. The Activision acquisition has ramped up scrutiny by Microsoft on Xbox. And I wrote, no shit. You spent $70 billion. They're going to look closer at you now. Before closing, the studio Arkane was looking to pitch a single-player immersive sim, potentially Dishonored 3. That sucks. Xbox is still looking to cut costs, and they did send voluntary buyout offers to some ZeniMax staff. Jeez, a Lou. Tango was in the process of getting ready to pitch Hi-Fi Rush 2, and then they canceled the studio. Matt Booty, in a town hall after the announcement, said, quote, "We need smaller games that give us prestige and awards," end quote. Are you kidding me? I heard more positive buzz last year about Hi-Fi Rush than almost anything. Yeah. And it was a freaking amazing year. And now you have the gall to go out there and say we need smaller titles that give us awards. And then I think Tango or somebody from Tango, studio head or something, was like, he just tweeted a picture of all the like awards that Hi-Fi Rush won.
Really? Good.
We found out Redfall was about to get an offline mode before the closure, is what we talked about earlier. But now it's not getting an offline mode. So now whenever they turn the servers off, you can't play that game because it's always online. So after that article, Sarabon did indicate that it sounds like they are going to put Call of Duty on Game Pass this year. Now, everything I heard before this went through was that they couldn't do that for a couple more years because of some contract that Sony already had in place with Activision for Call of Duty being the preferred platform or whatever you would call it is PlayStation. So I don't know if something changed or what, but and like we said, Xbox is looking to increase the Game Pass price again. They're also apparently looking at bringing Hellblade 2 to PS5. Also this past week, the co-founder of Devolver Digital said that he, quote, strongly believes in selling games first over using subscription services. Also, I think this just came out today, but the Perfect Dark reboot is reportedly facing massive challenges and is in, quote, a very rough state.
Well, it's funny, for going back to Call of Duty on Game Pass, there was somebody, I think it was Dustin maybe, said something along the lines of, can't wait to sign up for Game Pass rent Game Pass for 2 months when Call of Duty comes out and then cancel it. I'm like, yeah, that's what everybody's going to do.
This sucks. It just sucks. I don't know. I think this, I won't be surprised if they raise the price of Game Pass again. That being said, I think if they do put Call of Duty on Game Pass, that price is going up. It's going to go up from $16 or $16.99, whatever it is, to $20 a month. Guarantee it for Game Pass Ultimate.
At least.
That's still not going to be... And like you said, yeah, what if somebody just is like, okay, Call of Duty's out, I'm going to get it for 1 month, play online, now I'm done. So, okay, You got $20 out of me instead of 70.
Right.
I don't think it makes any sense. They are between. So this is why this whole Game Pass thing was so stupid from the beginning. They are between such a rock and a hard place that, like, you bought Activision so you can put their games in Game Pass. You bought Activision because they're worth so much money. The reason they're worth so much money
is because they sell a lot of games.
Call of Duty. Like, they sell them at $70 a pop. Like, it's the best-selling game every year. Even when it's not good, like Modern Warfare 3, you know, well, Hogwarts Legacy was the best-selling game last year. But it's almost always the best-selling game of the year. Even when it's not good. Like, so they either put it on Game Pass to kind of do what they said they were going to do, even though they've lied about a million things before. Why not lie about this? To put all their games into Game Pass and miss out on a bunch of revenue. Or they put everything but Call of Duty into Game Pass, have to charge Xbox players $70, just like on PlayStation or PC, and piss off everybody that has Game Pass. Like, they are...
I don't understand. You spend all that money to buy them. Now you put it on Game Pass. So you, A, don't get revenue from all those copies that it always sells. You don't get to tout, look, it was the best-selling game of the year, and it's on Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
I still refuse to believe there's that many people that have an Xbox, don't have Game Pass, but will get Game Pass because of Call of Duty.
And are they... Yeah.
Or don't have an Xbox, but will get an Xbox along with Call of Duty because of this acquisition. I just refuse to believe that there's that much of a chunk of the population out there that fall into those categories to even make a dent in the $70 billion purchase. I don't understand what the goal was here. You've backed yourself into a corner now by touting Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass. And if you buy you bought Activision, if you don't put Call of Duty on Game Pass, your consumers, whatever, and be like, why do I have Game Pass? Well, you're not going to put that on Game Pass? Like, yeah, so
they're screwed. It's also, like you were just saying, though, to people, like, how many people are there that don't have an Xbox that are going to buy an Xbox just so they can play it on Game Pass? Not to mention that would require a $500 purchase.
Right.
Also, I wasn't even thinking about this. If they put it on Game Pass PC also, they're not going to sell as many on PC. People are still going to buy it on Steam if they just don't want to deal with Game Pass or the Xbox launcher or whatever. But that's going to take a huge chunk out also, I would think.
Yeah.
Now, I could see maybe PC Game Pass subs go up. But I don't know.
Game Pass subs will go up, but like...
It ain't going to make up the revenue. It's literally not even close. It can't.
I don't know.
I still have the whole... It's the Tango thing that really... I'm like, I almost want to buy Hi-Fi Rush even if I don't play it. But I'm like, now that money... It's just going to Xbox. It doesn't help the people that are gone. It's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, stick it to the man by buying a game from the man. Well, never mind. You know? It sucks. I'm sure we'll have more news on this next time we podcast. Probably not going to end for a while. Speaking of ending, let's get to the wrap-up. Sean, we talked about this last week, but it has now been officially confirmed. The Nintendo World Championships NES Edition is officially coming on July 18th. These are a bunch of speedrun challenges and different things. I think there's 150 challenges or something like that. The games that are included are Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Excitebike, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Metroid, Super Mario 1, 2, 3, and the Lost Levels. And Zelda 1 and 2. Also, I didn't notice this, but somebody was saying it. I think it was probably Justin Davis was like, by the way, they call this Nintendo World Championships NES Edition. Are we going to get an SNES Edition?
I bet.
That would be freaking
especially
awesome.
Especially if it sells well.
And it's only $30, digital or physical. You can they did like a special edition, but I'm not pre-ordering that. For $60, I think it was, but... I'm excited. We're definitely going to get that. We're definitely going to be playing it on the channel. Probably going to stream it. Can't wait. Warner Brothers announced that Suicide Squad's failure at retail contributed to a $200 million hit to revenue.
Oof.
Maybe don't take your best studio and have them work on that for 9 years. It was announced today that Assassin's Creed Codename Red is officially Assassin's Creed Shadows, with the reveal coming on May 15th. It is officially only coming to current gen, so it's not coming to Xbox One or PS4. And the YouTube description for the video that's like counting down is already saying that it releases November 15th. So good job, somebody at Ubisoft, for leaking that on your own page.
So do we know anything about this yet?
This like is the one setting that's set in Japan.
This is Japan, okay.
Which sounds super cool. And like the piece of art they released was just something that looks like a samurai like sitting on top of a house, and you can just see like the katana.
Have we really not had an Assassin's Creed Japan before?
We had Ghost of Tsushima.
That's so weird. Yeah. That seems like such an obvious...
Yep.
Wow.
Capcom announced their seventh consecutive fiscal year of record results. They've been killing it ever since 2017. As soon as Resident Evil 7 came out, they turned the corner and never looked back. 2016 still sucked, because that was Street Fighter V, and that was a horrible release that didn't even have a freaking arcade mode at the beginning, and I'll never forget. I could just, if Angry Joe ever retweets one of your tweets, turn off notifications, because your phone's going to blow up, because that's what mine did. Also, Capcom announced as part of this that they have, quote, major titles coming before April of 2025. We're getting Resident Evil 9.
I don't know why, but something made me think about that. I think it was just today. I'm looking forward to it, but the stuff about playing as Chris has me kind of worried, because I don't want to be Chris at the end of Village, like with all this like tactical gear and like
light him up.
Yeah. And the only thing I can think of, especially if they do go open world somehow, that Chris gets, I don't know, swarmed, kidnapped, whatever, by whatever's the bad guys in this, and loses everything, and he's basically like
Naked Snake.
Yeah, like Metal Gear Solid 3, he's got nothing. Yeah, and then I'm like, okay. And then I sort of run it through my head, and I'm like, and especially if you do open world, like, I could kind of see that, like, but I hope to God it's not just like Call of Duty Resident Evil, just like,
yeah.
That's my one fear, and I don't think they would do that.
Well, and so Dust Golem, I think he tweeted it today, because he was the guy that's a reliable leaker, and he was the one that was saying all the stuff about all the stuff we talked about last week, I think, about the setting on the island.
Yeah.
Chris Redfield, all that. He had a clarification today saying that his sources at Capcom have dried up, and he's been getting a lot of questions. So he said, basically, he's not saying he's wrong, but what he's saying is the information I got was what Resident Evil 9 was as of a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So stuff could have changed. We don't know. I almost hope it has changed, just because I don't want to know anything about it until they show us.
Yeah.
You know? But I still won't be surprised if we're not Ethan somehow.
I feel like you kind of have to be. Like,
I mean, they showed at the game, they confirmed that, you know?
Yeah.
That the car walking thing at the funeral, the grave site, whatever, years down the road, right? Because that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, so it has to take place
in the future.
15, 16 years in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't go like Call of Duty Advanced
Warfare.
Maybe
they go Metal Gear Solid 4, and Chris somehow, with all of his T-viruses and G-viruses and crap that he's probably gotten exposed to, maybe he's like Agent, maybe he's become like Old Snake. He's like,
That hurt. Some data mining came out today that made it look like Red Dead Redemption 1 is finally coming to PC 14 years later. I don't know why they've never put it out there.
I did not know that. I just assumed it had been.
GTA 5 came to PC. I think GTA 4 did, I'm pretty sure. I don't know why Red Dead has not. But DEA, I don't know how you say this, but they're this French studio that leaked something before. They're reporting that God of War Ragnarok is the next PC release from PlayStation. I 100% believe that. If you would ask me
what else
next,
would it be?
I would have said it's that. So this really only applies to me, not even Sean, I don't think, but I'm very excited because we're going to get more news on EA College Football 25, May 16th. I cannot wait. This game is going to be in my top. It could suck. Who knows? But I am so excited for this game that I can't even. I cannot wait. Visions of Mana. Is it Mana or Mana?
I've always said Mana.
I know, because it's like Mana from Heaven. But I feel like people say it's Secret of Mana.
Mana?
I don't know. But it has been ESRB rated, so it's probably coming out very soon. That's one of those games that I might end up getting just because there's not a whole lot to play this year. And if it gets good reviews and stuff, I mean, it's a 3D, you know, it's Zelda. I think the only Mana game that had the thing that I didn't like was the first one.
The charge bar thing.
Yeah, but I was reading online, people are like, well, it's just like stamina.
It's taking the,
in a Dark Souls game. I was like, yeah, but that doesn't just let you attack once and then wait for it to come back up. You know what I mean? You just got to plan your moves. I guess you can plan your own. Jurassic World Evolution 3 is in development, and it's coming out in 2026. Please be excited. The Rogue Prince of Persia Early Access was bumped back a couple of weeks to May 27th, and they just said straight up it's because Hades 2 came out on Early Access, and we don't want to deal with it. So
now, what is this? This is like DLC, or this is a new game?
This is a brand new game from the people that did Dead Cells. That's a Prince of Persia side-scrolling game that I don't think looks as good as the one we already got. It's almost like a Flash kind of art style. It doesn't look like Dead Cells.
Yeah.
But it's a roguelite, whatever. I still don't know what the difference is. But they said, and they also said in their tweet or announcement, whatever it was, that and if Hollow Knight Silksong Shadow drops before that, then we just give up and we quit. We're done. So I thought that was funny. Joker is coming to Multiverses, and he is being voiced by Mark Hamill. That's awesome. I forgot Multiverses even came back out. Also, the design of the Joker in that looks horrible. And last but not least, Fallout 4, a 9-year-old game, was the best-selling game in the UK in April, beating out EA FC 24 and Helldivers 2.
I do want to watch that.
I need to watch it. I need to just do it. I think it's 8 episodes.
It's pretty short.
Yeah. And I've heard like the first couple are really good, then there's some filler episodes, and then the way it ends is awesome. You got to watch The Boys. I cannot wait for season 4.
And Castlevania.
Oh, you jackass. Oh, I saw somebody tweeted that season 4 of Castlevania debuted 3 years ago today. I was like, man, it was that long ago? Are you kidding me?
Dang.
I still think that's the best. I think it's a better video game adaptation than The Last of Us. Last of Us is more just like retelling the game and freaking awesome. But Castlevania was just, oh my God, it was so well done. It was so special. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this episode of the Two Player Co-op Podcast. We thank y'all so much for being here. We will be back next time. But until that time, Sean, go ahead and take us out.
Thank you for playing.